that it would significantly increase their travel time for the five teams already in Region 4, so they would have to add a region. But you would simply be replacing us with a non-region school. And then distance-wise, we're only about 14, 17 miles away from them. They also said that the balance makes the competition fairer based on the numbers. And again, we would be moving, if we went from Region 5 to Region 4, that would cause one extra team to be in the upper state, but we don't feel that that's a large imbalance or would cause a burden on the teams competing for playoff spots when the bracket committee determines what those brackets will be.
Mr. Commissioner, just a question for clarification. When the realignment committee sent its charge to the league, I know there was a lot of enrollment was the one issue, but can you talk about what the other issues are as far as imbalance in numbers in upper and lower and region sizes? Could you speak to what those guidelines or recommendations were?
Yes, the guidelines spoke to, once we get the enrollment numbers, if at all possible, try to balance the regions as well as possible. And if we could balance up the classification, upper state and lower state, as much as possible, we wanted to do that too. It didn't tell us to take into account kids coming from migrant programs. We really looked at it based on traveling from where the school is. Because if we took in consideration migrant programs, there will be several in Myrtle Beach that would have that same issue that they would have to deal with. There will be some in Charleston that would have that same issue that they would have to deal with. So the best way that we could do it is to try to keep the number of travel to a palatable travel. And I think it even stated, since we don't want any school traveling more than 60 miles three times. More than three times going to excess of 60 miles, feeling that that was a litmus test number. So we try to work with inside those, numbers as much as we can, unless it creates an imbalance on everything else. So we tried to balance it as much as possible. Sometimes you had to travel in excess of those miles because of the fact that where you're geographically located and we're able to place them where we need to place them. But we couldn't get tied to the fact that schools were going to have to take in consideration kids coming from magnet programs, because Charleston has them, Greenville has them, Myrtle Beach has them. I mean, so many of them could create that as a challenge. I don't think we'd be able to really do realignment if it came down to taking all those things into consideration. It'd be almost impossible for us to try to figure that out, because we'd have to really look at what's geographic. And the reality of it is, Columbia is kind of a midway point. If there's a place where schools are going to go in the opposite direction and multiple directions, it's probably going to occur out of Columbia, because we can't stop from the inside and work our way out. We'll have to go past each other. So we work from the outside and work our way in. And, you know, based on the guidelines they gave us, we brought forward the best thing that we thought we had that could meet the standards that they were asking.
Tim, did you have a question?
No, just a follow-up on the criteria used.
And we commend...
We're still in discussion right this minute. Thank you. Dr. Wilson.
With the other magnet programs, say Charleston or Myrtle Beach or wherever, we don't know though that it would impact them constructively.
Yes, I only made that statement given the fact that we never considered magnet programs and establishing how far people would want to travel and the time of delay when school starts and ends. That I say that because school end their day at different times also. So where some of them may end their day earlier and have a tricky challenge to their instructional time, some of them don't have that issue because they don't end their school day early. Or whatever case comes forward.
Dr. Pritchard, do you have a question? Other questions? Hearing no other questions at this time, I would entertain a motion from the committee.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the request. request to move from Region 5 to Region 4.
Mr. Brown, motion on the floor to allow Irmo to move from Region 5 to Region 4. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Any discussion at this time?
Just comment, I think our Irmo High School has presented a great case as it relates to instructional time being that's something that is central to what we do in education. However, I don't necessarily see it as a unique burden to Irmo to have to travel comparable to 1A, 2A, and other 3A schools around the state. So I question, as I've sat and witnessed other decisions made as relates to the committee and the purpose of what we've done, that this motion for favor. But I do agree with Dr. Hardy and her team on the instructional issue, and that's something that needs to be taken into consideration, if at all possible. However, that burden will exist if this decision is made for several schools in several regions and several school districts, and we will not be able, this committee will not be able to ratify that, which means we'll be creating or doing something that is inequitable in a sense. So are we gonna be, will we be prepared to address this issue moving forward as well for travel time for those schools who are traveling equal distance or just as far? I think the committee made a great suggestion of something to review, and that's pushing the start time of athletic events, adjusting those times to see if that would alleviate some of the travel time issues or concerns. So.
I would have to echo Dr. Davis's sentiment that I just feel that there's alternatives that can be done in place for when you're playing, having a play school, that travel time may be an issue with start times. You can adjust that just as it's done in other regions as well. Even in the region that I'm in, we do that for schools that may have an issue with travel time. Get there, we push time back to accommodate that. So there's no loss of instructional time.
Being in a district where we travel quite a bit, we have adjusted volleyball. For instance, we play on Saturdays for JV so that our varsity games can start at 6 o'clock, so we're not traveling extra at night. We have pushed our JV games to be one night, varsity games to be another night, so you only have one game on those fields, you know, that go on. Is it a hassle or some long nights? Yeah, but I think we've done a good job in adjusting to that, just because we understand that piece about academics and how important it is. We do have the charter school, schools in our district where they have to leave a little bit early sometimes, but we try to limit that as much as we possibly can by moving back time, so we're going at 6 and so forth. So even though it's not the great situation, I do think it's feasible to do make some changes so that you can adjust to that. My thing too, what Mr. Singleton said too, was if we adhere to all these things at schools and so forth, I don't know if we could ever make a classification, or we could make a region, or we could make, you know, because this falls, like we're hearing, everywhere, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm sure there are 5A schools. You know, as much as I do not like my region, I understand it's a process, I understand that, you know, it's gonna be a little bit tougher, but hey, my first 10 years in the region, we were four schools in our region that didn't have to go to PD. You know, so it's just the way it falls at different times, and doesn't always stay the same way too, every 2 years. And so, you know, I just think, agree with Dr. Davis, I think we set precedent when we do make changes like that.
Thank you. I guess my thought is that here's a way that we can accommodate this student district by moving them from one class, one region to another. And, you know, their instructional time is not impacted at all, is what I heard. Now, how they come, but that they have that opportunity.
Sure.
To come here and make their case. Mm-hmm. Now, if they come and make the case, and we say they've made a good case, then we're going to deny it because somebody else didn't come. That doesn't fit well with me. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Just for clarification, because I've never sat through where the classes appeal to move and that type of thing. From what I've read and I'm hearing, it sounds like Region 5 was 5-0 in support of them leaving, and Region 4 was 3-2 in favor of them coming. Why are they having to appeal it? Why was it not approved in that meeting, if that can be stated?
Well, that's a decision made by the class. They presented before the classification exec committee.
Okay, before the entire?
Yes.
Okay.
And they made a decision that for whatever impact it had.
Okay.
It does have impact across the board, as they stated. It does change the school moving from the 4A to the 5A, and if you divide the state up in the upper and lower state region, that does have an impact on that area too. Probably something that could be addressed, but that decision was made first by all the schools that were actively involved.
Okay.
Other discussion? Yes, ma'am.
I do agree that there are lots of schools across the state based on the classification that travel far. Because they have to. They're put in that situation just because of the location of where they are. However, if we have an opportunity to be able to know that we're going to make a positive impact on increasing instructional time by moving them from one region to another where the instructional time is not impacted, I feel like the focus has always got to be on the instructional time and in support of our students, because that's what we're ultimately here for. So that's why I'm in support.
Mr. Brown, Mr. Tootin, and Dr. Day.
I would echo what my two colleagues and all that have said, and I would add, you know, this is the reason why this committee exists, is to hear these cases. And, you know, every member school has their right to appeal to us, and, you know, I look at these cases on a case-by-case basis. I don't necessarily think of the entire body, and if a superintendent and principal and district office and AD feel strongly enough about the loss of instructional time that they appeal it to us and make the quality case that have the support from the majority of the schools that it would impact, it's very difficult for me to side against them. And that's the reason why I made the motion that I do.
Dr. Davis.
I'm going to say this, and I have very good friends and colleagues with the superintendent and everyone that's sitting at that table. So this is not a reflection on them. And I wanted to state that for the record. However, I think as a body, a governing body, you do have to make decisions that impact the entire system. It's not necessarily, that is not what a governing body does, and when we're talking about being equitable. So because someone doesn't cry out and you know there's an issue that's wrong, doesn't mean you don't address it because they didn't come forward with the problem. If you know that the problem exists and your decision sets a precedent or makes an impact that will have a ripple effect across regions or the state or whatever that may be. I won't go into details about what I just witnessed prior to this meeting, prior to this one, where clearly there was something that discrepancies exist and we looked in a different direction. However, I think it's our responsibility. My question would be, do we take this then in consideration for those rural school districts where students are more impoverished, that have more challenges, that need more instructional time, that are on buses, that are traveling hours to get to school, versus a school where students are some of the most high-achieving school students in the state of South Carolina, and we're talking about loss of instructional time for them? Are we considering those other schools in Abbeville, in Clarendon counties, where those students need to be in class as well? If that's why our focus on this board is about instructional time, then we should take those schools into consideration as well and should set up classifications that then help those students stay in school longer, because I think they're the ones that are probably not benefiting the most from the classifications and also having adequate instructional time in the classrooms. So this is not about instructional time necessarily for if we're going to, I'm sorry, if we're going to address instructional time, then let's address instructional time for everyone, because everyone's not going to be here to present that case. They just accept those as the accept those consequences as levied or given to them. But if that's our important, that's important to us as a body, then let's address it for everyone athletically.
Other discussion?
Just a clarification on the process. So how is the travel time? Can you talk to that a little bit, Mr. Singleton, take it into account when regions were developed with the realignment process?
Well, we're trying to balance the regions as much as possible. We do take travel in consideration. It gets a little easier when we start talking about travel in a heavily populated area where there's a lot of schools. It gets a little bit easier. The ones that we really struggle with are the 1A and 2A that are in a very rural area, and we're trying to figure out what best fits them. So if we ever get an opportunity to have balanced regions and balanced classification, balanced upper state, lower state, and balanced within the classification, we try to take advantage of those. You will find, over the history of it, that you will find some schools that will come in that will say 30 miles is too much of a travel when there's a 10-mile travel in place. And then we got some schools that say, well, if I can just get two of them that falls under 50 miles, we feel like we're comfortable with that. The other side we've got to look at, and we take all of it in consideration, are there opportunities to get local games for non-region? Because they don't just play the region schedule. The region schedule is the only one that they're required to be a part of. Now, the non-region ones, you can choose as local as you choose to. Now, if you do make changes, to some of them, then where do you get your non-region games from? Are there more local schools, or do you travel those distance anyway to get your non-region games to make up your schedule? The only thing that's the difference between the region and the non-region in practice is, one, you're required to play, and the other, you're not required to play. But I know very few schools that don't take advantage of at least 90% of the allowable contests that you're allowed to have. We have know very few schools that would just say we'll only play two games outside of our region play. Most of them fill their schedule. They may not fill it 100%, but at least 90%. That's been the history of them, because we get the schedules each year. So to answer your question again, for region purposes, we try to balance it as much as possible. And that's, once we got the numbers, we don't even give consideration and say, well, in this region, this enrollment count is so much bigger than this one school. That's not up for debate. You're in that class. So you will have to compete at placing it against any school in that classification in those regions.
If I heard correctly, we're only talking 4 days out of a 180-day school calendar. And the issue I think that was talked about was JV, varsity, doubleheaders, things like that. And if that's the case, you know, JV's not required to play a region schedule. So, you know, there could be other, again, alternatives to where you could only have one single game, push the start time back. And that's the way I'm just looking at it.
Yes, ma'am.
From my perspective, of course, always looking at the academic component, the instructional environment for students is at the foremost, should be on all of our minds. My only concern is, with the waiver or approval, is that other alternatives for scheduling have not been explored yet at this time. Horry County spoke of some alternatives that they use with scheduling, and I think the conversation would be a little different if alternatives have been explored and have not been successful. So,
any decision. Anybody else? Hearing no other discussion, we have a motion on the floor to allow, IRMO to move from Region 5 to Region 4. We have a second. All those in favor of IRMO moving from Region 5 to Region 4, please raise your right hand.
Please raise hands high. 4.
Opposed.
12.
That means that motion fails for them to move to from Region 5 to Region 4. Do we need a motion in the affirmative? No, it just fails. Mr. Hardy, at this time, that motion out here.
We don't need a motion to uphold. I guess it's coming on appeal.
Well, we should know that.
Yeah, you made a motion to approve what the appeal is, and it failed. So
we don't have to have a motion to
uphold. It's already upheld.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's coming to us on appeal?
Yes.
Okay.
So Dr. Hardy, the motion has failed. If you wish to appeal to the appellate panel, please notify the commissioner within